Thank you so much for joining me this evening. I'm Dave Schrader, and again, if you enjoy the programs when you hear me sit in, I encourage you to join me on my show, Darkness Radio. We do that Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time. You can find the live stream from our home station at the Twin Cities News Talk Station, AM 1130, just by going to darknessradio.com. You can listen in as we explore the strange world around us, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, monsters, myths, legends, and more. And then keep streaming, because as soon as our show wraps up, George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM continues your journey into the strange. So we'd love for you to join us. You can follow me over at Twitter, at Darkness Radio. That's at Darkness Radio. Communicate with me during the show this evening at Dave at DarknessRadio.com. Dave at DarknessRadio.com. The best way to send me emails if you have questions or thoughts that you'd like to relay to our guests throughout the evening. We'll open up phone lines at the top of next hour, and you can call in with questions, thoughts, concerns with our guest, Mark Anthony. Mark, before the break, we were talking kind of about the way these deep impacting moments affect time, space, and people. And I had asked if there's a ripple effect, like a stone going in a lake, sending out those ripples. Will it go back and affect the past? Is that, do you think, what's creating premonitions and these instance of ESP for people to pick up on something tragic coming? And you were describing some of the science behind that principle and these gravitational waves and energetic waves.
Exactly. If something that's 1.3 billion light years away from us can affect us, I mean, Einstein was saying that if two black holes collide, it emits, like you said, the pebble in a pond. Well, this is, you know, the black hole in the pond of space. And if something 1.3 billion light years away, which means these waves took 1.3 billion years to get here, and they're affecting us, at least to the point where sensitive technology, which is highly theoretical, highly experimental, but now has proven Einstein's theory. Okay, so if something that far away can affect us, when a negative event like 9/11 occurs right here, well, obviously, when you drop a stone into a pond, the concentric circles closest to the point of impact are much more defined and stronger because they're not as dispersed as they would be by the time they get to the shores of the pond, and then ripple back. So that's exactly what we're talking about here. 9/11 happens. It is just horrific in every sense of the word. It affects us all on an emotional, spiritual, mental level, physical level, and then the ripple effect goes back and forth, because 15 years later, you know, I talk to my cousin, I can see my cousin visibly shaken and affected. Those veterans that I dealt with and worked with yesterday, it was such a privilege to work with World War II, Korean, and Vietnam vets on the honor flight. What they went through happened years, decades ago. In the case of my father, you know, 7 decades ago, and the effect is still a very personal thing. So acknowledging this, that these things bother us and affect us, also helps us to process it and then help deflect it away from it. Because a big part of the problem, Dave, is what we've seen with post-traumatic stress disorder. And 9/11 affected so many people. Now, post-traumatic stress disorder is an emotional reaction to a horrific experience, and it results in a lot of psychological disorders, such as intense stress, nightmares, flashbacks, depression, hyperactivity, social disorders, like, you know, I can't be in a room full of people, these people, you know, get to me. And we've been seeing this since World War I, at least documented in the modern era. They used to call it shell shock, and then in World War II, they started calling it battle fatigue, and then since Vietnam, it's been called post-traumatic stress disorder. So what we're now seeing is that if you survive a terrorist attack or a murder or a rape or some other horrible thing, and if the flashbacks, nightmares, depression, anxiety lasts for more than a month, which inevitably it does, this is a real syndrome, a real disease, a real phenomenon, and has to be dealt with. And 9/11 brought that to the forefront. Yet there's a lot of people still suffering from it, and they probably always will, but it doesn't mean that you can't seek treatment, either in the spiritual or psychological sense, because confronting pain, confronting the stress disorder helps to diffuse and deflect that energy away. So now you think of a healing stone that hits your pond, which is you, and now you emit those concentric circles away from you. And that's all part of grief recovery and coping with post-traumatic stress disorder.
We need to take a quick break. We'll get more insights, more information, and delve deeper into this effect when we return. Our guest, Mark Anthony, here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, this evening. Along with me, Mark Anthony. He is the author of two of the most fascinating books, and I highly recommend, if you haven't had a chance to read Mark Anthony's work, you certainly should, and get involved, because it has helped me a lot in my quest for knowledge and understanding, especially when it comes to grief and how to deal with communication with the other side. And that's been something that I find so fascinating. His newest book, Evidence of Eternity. And we have websites up and links up on our site at coasttocoastam.com if you'd like to find out more information about Mark. Mark, a place like Ground Zero, where so much took place, so much energy, so much violence, bloodshed, and we know that there's energy in blood and energy in the body and energy in the emotions that were pushed out at that time. Will that area ever truly be clear of that, or has it created a traumatic scar that will last through eternity?
You know, well, eternity is a long time. So, when I say that, I don't mean to be flippant in any way, because I don't know if there's any way that we can clearly answer that question. I visited Ground Zero about a year and a half ago, and unlike when I visited Dachau concentration camp near Munich when I was a kid, I wasn't prepared for that, and it was overwhelming, and the visions and the feelings, I mean, I had to be escorted off. I mean, not because they threw me out, but friends of mine knew that I was going through something really intense and they had to get me out of there. But when I was going to 9/11, to Ground Zero, I was prepared. And I could feel the intensity, and I can feel the sorrow and the anguish of all these spirits crying out at one time, these souls crying out. But, you know, the monument, the waterfalls they've created have got to be the most elegant and respectful and amazing monument to the people whose lives were lost. And I don't think that this place is, at least in our lifetimes or maybe even 10 lifetimes from now, is ever going to lose that energetic intensity, because an extremely negative event happened here. So this is the stone falling into the pond, literally Ground Zero, and the waves of negativity are emanating out. Yet so much good has been done there. So much healing has been brought there. The people who gave their lives in service of other people, the first responders, the police, the firefighters, the people helping each other there, the compassion shown by organizations of every faith from around the world are now countering some of the negativity. You know, we see this when I was at Arlington National Cemetery yesterday. Now, even though it's a cemetery as opposed to an actual site where something like 9/11 happened, yeah, there's a lot of mixed emotions, mixed feelings there. And we tend to think of grief purely as a negative thing, because when you're going through it, the shock of losing a loved one, or in the case of 9/11, lots of loved ones, countless emotions and losing so many people. But we're not defined by what happens to us, but how we respond to what happens to us. And that's why when you go to Arlington and you see the great respect at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, or you go to 9/11 and you see the majestic waterfalls that were created and commemorating and memorializing the people who died, this is healing. This is confronting, recognizing, and realizing that we are powerless to change what happened. And Dave, when I went to Ground Zero, it motivated me to write a blog called Empowerment Through Being Powerless. And it's on the blog and grief management section on my website. And because when I was at 9/11, not only was I psychically picking up on the deaths of what happened, I was immersed in anger and a sense of, why couldn't I do something? Why can't I do something now? And then it dawned on me, I'm powerless to change what has happened. So by acknowledging that I was powerless to change the past, it empowered me to take responsibility for what I'm doing now. I've done so many readings for 9/11 survivors, and the best part of that was, I always tell people, and it's on my website and in all my materials, I don't want to know anything about you, who you want to contact, what your background is. It was during the reading when spirits came forward, information came forward from the other side, from the spirit realm, that then I knew these people were involved in 9/11. And through reaching out to the other side and helping people heal, this is what empowered me. Well, not everybody's a psychic, but let's say that you are the sympathetic ear to somebody who's gone through this, whether it's 9/11 or the Pentagon or someone who's lost a loved one recently. This is what we have control over, because by taking control of what we're doing now, we're making a better today and working toward a better tomorrow. And realizing that, why couldn't I have swooped in and saved her? Why couldn't I have changed somebody's life? Why couldn't I have done this? Stop doing that. Realize you are powerless to change the past, and through that realization, you are now empowered to affect your present and your future.
In a spot like Ground Zero, you've been there. Do the spirits ever really get to move from that spot? Is that some place that, as Jeff Belanger, the author and researcher, says, that, you know, ghosts are our history's way of enforcing that we remember what happened? Do you believe that these spirits will be released, or do you believe they'll always be a part of that location?
Well, you know, I know we've had this, and I respect Jeff's work, but the way I look at hauntings, there's you know, the spirits are trapped theory, which I don't buy. There is spirits are released, and in the over 10,000 readings that I've done, when somebody dies and their spirit is then released from the organ that we call a brain, okay, which houses the consciousness, it does not create it. That electromagnetic quantum field, once it separates from the body, you know, we can't interfere with the will of God and with energy being either created nor destroyed, only transferred. As much as we would like to or think so, that's sort of an egoistic way of looking at things. Spirits aren't trapped here, okay? But spirits can return to a location for various reasons, which I explain in the chapter Frequency Beacons and Evidence of Eternity. But I also believe that matter retains energy and vibration. So a lot of what people pick up on when they go to a place like Arlington or a place like 9/11 or Dachau concentration camp or any other, you know, a murder scene or where their child committed suicide, when a negative event happens, it creates these waves, you know, on a much, much, much smaller scale, like Einstein's theoretical, which are now proven fact, gravitational waves. So something horrible happens in a location. matter retains energy. It's like an echo, keeps bouncing off the matter, keep bouncing. So like, oh, at 10:04 every night, we see the image of a woman running by, and that's when she was killed. Well, because that event's getting replayed and replayed and replayed. And human beings having the sensitive apparatus within their bodies to pick up on these tend to think this is haunted or spirits are somehow trapped. But what we're now seeing is that matter retains energy. We pick up on this. Earlier you said, will it, you know, go on in eternity? Well, we don't know yet, but it may, over time, the echo becomes less and less because the energy's not being created there or destroyed there, but it will be transferred away from there. But I think in the case of 9/11 and Ground Zero and the Pentagon and places like Auschwitz and Dachau and, you know, Buchenwald and places in Cambodia where Pol Pot had millions murdered, it's going to take lifetimes before that energy transfers away from that location. We all want it to be within our lifetime because we're finite beings, but energy is eternal, can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be transferred, and that can take immense amounts of time.
I, you know, right now there's so much going on in the world around us and people feeling very dark, and, you know, this ripple effect I was talking about goes forward, backwards, up and down. You know, yesterday being World Suicide Prevention Day, we talked about it here on Coast to Coast AM. We've talked about it on Darkness Radio. Does that ripple effect, because of the anguish, does that have an effect on people worldwide? Because as I'm reading more and more articles and looking things up, it seems like this time of year becomes a very dark time for a lot of people. And I'm wondering if it's really their feelings and emotions they're picking up on, or is it spilling over from the tragedies that have befallen us, in the past?
I think it's both. It's sort of, you know, the chicken or the egg. I mean, everybody knows it's 9/11, so we start mentally going back to that. But then, of course, when you go to the actual site, you pick up on the residual energy echo, which is extremely intense. So the two kind of feed off each other. You know, it's like what a lot of the people that discuss the like attracts like. Well, you know, all they're discussing is energy projection. You know, when you, it's hard to achieve a positive result with a negative mind. And I'm not criticizing the people going through the post-traumatic stress disorder of 9/11, because it's a very real thing, physically, emotionally, psychically, spiritually. And so when 9/11 comes up, we psychologically take ourselves back to that time, just like the veterans who've been through, you know, battle, conflict, watching their friends killed and the horrific things they've endured are mentally going back to that, and that does project negative emotions. Because one thing we do know from physics, there's positive charged energy and negatively charged energy. It's all part of the universe or the multiverses. We're all part of this. So there are certain dates throughout the year when we manifest and feel and accept this, and that creates that. The problem is we have to realize that you've got to counter that with the compassion, the healing, and that's why services such as the 9/11 Memorial today are so important, where people come together and say, this was the anniversary of a horrible event, but we also have to realize that today is not that day. And yes, today is 9/11, but it is not the 9/11 of 2001. And that was horrible, and it was terrible, and it inflicted grief upon people, but that is not today. And by acknowledging that today is not that day, we're able to start to let go of that negativity, that pain, and that anger, and take that proverbial baby step forward into the light of healing.
We'll continue more with our guest Mark Anthony here on Coast to Coast AM. If you love the type of topics you hear on Coast to Coast AM, I encourage you to go check out our website, coasttocoastam.com. There's some great pieces of news up there highlighted for you. 15 years later, The quest for 9/11 truth continues. You can also watch a Bigfoot filmed in the UK for the first time and watch the new trailer for the Boggy Creek Monster. And then there's photographs, two creatures purportedly photographed at Loch Ness. Go check it out for yourself. And while you're there, become a Coast Insider. That'll give you access to 5 years of past archives of the show. That's thousands of hours of fantastic content, some of the greatest guests in history. And you'd be able to listen to them 15 cents a day. That's what it breaks down to for a one-year subscription. Don't miss out. You'll listen and you'll know why we are the best in overnight talk radio. While you're there, I encourage you to check out another great project that George has going, ParanormalDate.com and ConspiracyDate.com. If you're looking for that special someone and you love Coast to Coast AM, wondering where else can you meet people just like you that have the same interests in a wide breadth of activities, well, this is your opportunity. ParanormalDate.com is approaching 52,000 members, and it's free to join. And if you decide you'd like to stay on and get a full membership, use promo code George to stick around. Again, promo code George to get deeper discounts and to be able to stick around. It'll be a great opportunity for you to meet somebody. You've got fall, crisp air weather, nice time to go walking hand in hand, pick some apples, bonfires, have some fun, and meet the love of your life at ParanormalDate.com. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Mark Anthony and talk about the ramifications of this type of experience, 9/11. What does it mean for our past, present, and future? And what do we see coming for our future? It's an uneasy and unparalleled time in our history right now. What does Mark see and what has he heard from the great beyond? We'll talk about that when we return to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. I'll be back with you again mid-October, and I'm going to bring the frights with me. As a matter of fact, when I return with you in October, on October 15th and 16th, the 15th, we're going to spend with extreme paranormal survivors from the original Amityville Horror, the original case. Christopher Lutz, the youngest boy, will join us. Along with him, Andrea Perrin, who is one of the survivors from the original Conjuring case. And from Haunting in Connecticut, we have Carmen Snedeker. Carmen Reed is going to join us. Three of the most famous haunted movies, famous real-life ghost stories will be coming together to discuss their extreme hauntings together in a panel discussion, and we'll take your calls, your questions, and your stories that night. And then on the 16th, we'll be joined by Karen Smurl from the Smurl Haunting, also an Ed and Lorraine case. We'll talk about that, and we have a couple of special guests that I'm keeping under wraps that will be joining us for part of that evening as well. So keep up and watch and see what's coming up next by visiting coasttocoastam.com, or you can follow me at Dave@darknessradio.com is my email. It's on Facebook. Just look up Darkness Radio. You can follow our pages there. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter, @darknessradio. That's the best ways to keep in touch with us. And again, if you want to send emails in to ask questions of my guest or myself during the show tonight, Dave@darknessradio is the best way to reach me as we go on. Mark Anthony, our guest this evening. Mark, with all that's gone on in the world around us, and it's a weird, tumultuous time. Never before in politics have we had a moment like this, and have we had such weird division lines drawn in the sand. We've got that going on. We've got, Korea testing bombs again. We've got Russia stepping up and almost appearing in a few interviews as though they're getting ready to start challenging America. And I don't like to live in that state of fright, nor do I like to perpetrate that and scare the world discussing these kind of topics, but it's all very real and continuing to go on. Are there any insights coming from the other side, from those that we've lost or our spirit guides, God, universe, energy, whatever it is, kind of giving insight and ideas on what we're to expect next?
Yeah, my specialization is communication with spirits as opposed to, quote-unquote, being a fortune teller. And I may get insights and I pick up on things. But I'm not getting any memos from the other side that the end of the world as we know it is anytime soon. And basically, I look to inspiration from inspirational people. And Nelson Mandela said something that really, really helps me in times like this. Because, Dave, I agree with you. Things are very scary now. Of course, the world's always been a scary place, but we now have weapons of mass destruction. And you know, when you get a crazed dictator from North Korea that now has nuclear weapons, and then you have a dictator like Putin who's extremely manipulative and a real powerful person, and of course you've got extremism and terrorism worldwide. Nelson Mandela said, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not one who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." And fear is a terrible thing, Dave. And I know we had a discussion once where you said that fear is false evidence appearing real. And fear, you know, grips us, overcomes us. It is a real thing, and sometimes it's good to be afraid. It's good to be afraid of sticking your hand in a roaring fire. But we cannot also bow to extremism and bow to tyrants. And Gandhi said something that I also find very inspirational. "When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have always been tyrants and murderers, and for a time, they seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall." Think of it, always. So we need to look to people like Mandela, like Gandhi, like the, you know, the great sages throughout time, that there is hope. There's always hope, and there's always these horrific leaders that seem invincible. But inevitably, the very things that made them what they are, fear, oppression, violence, are also the things that are going to be their undoing. Because he who lives by the sword shall perish by it.
Unfortunately, it's not without a lot of collateral damage in most cases.
Of course not. Of course not. I mean, what freedom isn't free. And being part of the honor flight in Washington yesterday, I mean, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of controversy going on right now, you know, with the national anthem and all that. But the fact of the matter is, we have a right to say these things. And years ago, when I was a teenager, I was on a student tour in Russia. And, you know, our guide, we used to, you know, to kid among ourselves, the fellow American students, that our guide, we called him the product of the state, because everything was like, Russia good and this and that. And finally, I said to him, because I was always kind of the snarky one, you know, being a lawyer and a psychic, and, you know, and, or a soon-to-be lawyer. I said to him, I said, "Well, you know, you keep telling us that you have the same freedoms that we do, but it doesn't look that way to me." And he says, "Russian Constitution has freedom of speech like American Constitution." I said, "Oh, yeah?" I said, "Well, what's the difference?" And he leaned over and looked at me, and he said, "Freedom after you make speech." And all of a sudden, all the tingles and chills went up on my spine. Yeah, you can say anything you want in a country like Russia or China or Iran or Saudi Arabia. You've got the freedom to make that speech. But after you make that speech, will you remain free? And while our country may not be perfect, our ideals are, and we may be a work in progress, but the fact of the matter is, you and I are talking about a lot of controversial things. We're talking about religion, we're talking about spirit communication, you know, we're talking about politics. The things that we're talking about would be suppressed in other country. And yesterday, I saw men and women who paid with their blood and with their lives for us being able to say this, and then not having the knock on the door at 3 a.m. and the secret police taking us away. So, yes, our world is not perfect. It is a scary and dangerous place. But, Dave, maybe I'm an incurable optimist. Maybe that's something my dad, a veteran and a can-do NASA guy, drilled into me, is that there is always hope. There's always probabilities. And as a psychic medium, I know that no matter what, who and what we are transcends, will live on between beyond this physical life and go into a greater state. But while we're here living in the material world, we have to be the best person we can, not bow to the ego of anger, bigotry, hatred, and violence, but instead rise to the light of peace, love, compassion, and understanding.
We all know what should be done, Mark, and that in a perfect utopian world is the way it would go, but people just don't seem to be willing or capable of stepping up to do the right thing. All people. There are a lot of good people in the world, but there are so many people bent on power hunger and manipulation and trying to rule and control instead of trying to work together to make a peaceful environment. With that in play, I mean, you know, how do we ever get to that level of security?
If being spiritual were easy, everyone would be spiritual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you go to church or, you know, any type of place of worship and everyone's, oh, yes, peace and love and all this. And then you go out into the parking lot and get in your car. And, you know, you got to realize that the person in front of you in the parking lot is not your enemy. You know, anybody can be enlightened sitting on a mountaintop in a beautiful place like Sedona, gazing at the sun setting over those incredible orange mountains. It's when you're stuck in a traffic jam in Minneapolis or L.A. or New York City and you got to get to an appointment in 10 minutes and you know you're not going to be able to get there on time. And that's the true test, because life isn't standing on a mountaintop in Sedona. I mean, it's nice to be able to do that, but we're stuck in the traffic jam, and that's the real test. And the fact of the matter is the material world, the world that we live in, is not utopia. 9/11 proves that to us. What's going on in the Middle East proves that to us. This campaign bringing out the ugliness in you know, both sides of the aisle and everything. But the fact of the matter is, there's people throughout the world who are aspiring to these ideals and compassion. And as Nelson Mandela says, don't be afraid of it. Okay, this is something you have to face and something you have to conquer. It's not easy. But it doesn't mean we should not try. I mean, what did John F. Kennedy say about going to the moon? I mean, that's the time when we had a president who actually believed that our space program was in our national best interest. And he said, we do these things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. And so doing the right thing from a spirit of compassion and love, you know, in 9/11, and this is part of the story in the first chapter of Evidence of Eternity, how my cousin was saved by a young firefighter. That guy was terrified. That firefighter was terrified. He probably didn't want to be there, but he was there anyway. He did the right thing, and he saved my cousin's life, and I don't know how many other lives. So doing the right thing isn't always easy, because if it were, everybody would do it, but that still doesn't mean we should not rise to the challenge.
You know, when we talk about the psychic realm, the metaphysical world around us, and, you know, one thing that I've been talking about on our show, Darkness Radio, and talking with some other experts around the world about the power of intent, the power of our own consciousness and awareness. And do you agree, time is not linear, correct? It doesn't go just A to Z. There's...
Correct. Absolutely.
We're living in the now and always at the same time, correct?
Correct, yes.
The reason I ask that is I think how many times you've done something really stupid and you lay there in bed unable to sleep thinking, man, why did I do that? That's the dumbest thing. And we regret and we focus and we let that moment in our past affect our everyday life and our future. And then you remember back to that moment and you remember this overwhelming screaming sensation saying, don't do this, don't do this. And you do it anyway. And I often wonder, is that the ripple effect? Is that voice, you screaming from the future, laying in bed, concentrating and thinking, why did I, don't do that, don't do that, and can it affect? You know, we've done experiments on our show with Darkness Radio. And I know Art Bell and George Norrie have done intention experiments on coast to coast, focusing on bringing rain to areas where it is desperately needed, for fires to die out where it is desperately needed. And there have been some really astounding results that have occurred when people come together with a like mind. Mark, is there a possibility that if we got a million coast-to-coast listeners to focus our intention to a specific point to try to send a message back in time, not through computers or quantum computers or through DeLoreans, but through our own mental acuity, could we send back a message that might actually be effective in trying to circumvent those issues that we lived through 15 years ago?
It's certainly worth a try. I mean, we have everything to gain and nothing to lose by sending out an emanation of peace and compassion and love. And look, you know, I don't mean to sound all, you know, airy-fairy and throwing flowers around, but, you know, earlier when I quoted Gandhi, you know, Gandhi used nonviolent non-cooperation and a peaceful means to end foreign occupation, British rule of his country. And it's a lofty idea to not strike back physically when somebody, is oppressing you. But it certainly came with a price. Many lives were lost. It came with great sacrifice. It inflicted tremendous pain on the nonviolent, non-cooperation. Look at what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was able to accomplish using the tactics of Gandhi of nonviolent non-cooperation to effect integration, social change in this country. The brutality inflicted upon the people working with him and in conjunction with him was horrible, but it still prevailed. So in the end, to get a massive group of people like the incredible listeners of Coast to Coast AM and of Darkness Radio and people of faith and conscience everywhere to start projecting, you know, it's time to find higher solutions. It's very easy to inflict violence. Those are lower vibrations, lower, denser, less evolved vibrations. The higher, more inspirational vibration is more difficult to achieve, but it is absolutely worth achieving. I mean, what did Benjamin Franklin say? There's never been a good war or a bad peace. You know, living in peace is what everybody wants, yet all too often humans accomplish that which they least desire. And perhaps that is part of living in the material world and going through a succession of lifetimes in this world until we go to a realm where these petty negative emotions don't exist. So maybe this is that negative ripple in the greater space-time continuum.
But I wonder, theoretically, if we put that intention, not even just for peace and love, to take out that hippie quotient that so many people will roll their eyes at, but if we were able to focus an intention of specifically, you know, setting the parameters of on September 21st, 2016, you know, let's all focus at 10 p.m. Central Time, this intention, beware the skies on September, 11th, 2001, at this time frame, or do something that, you know, sends that message back to see if it can be quantitatively measured in any way. And I know it sounds, again, very woo-woo and airy-fairy in the idea, but if we know that we can affect things and we know that we can even affect our own perceptions of our reality because of our thoughts from the future, it's just a fascinating possibility. What are your thoughts? We'd love to hear from you. We'll open up phone calls at the top of the hour. So give us a call. Be a part of the show. You can talk to Mark Anthony, have questions for him, thoughts, and your own beliefs on 9/11. We'll do that when we return. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.